Let's take our Bibles and turn with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 18. Proverbs, chapter 18. I'd like to look at verse 16. Proverbs 18, verse 16. The scripture declares, a man's gift maketh room for him and bringeth him before great men. How beautifully and tenderly the scriptures set forth the kindness that is shown from one to another. Whenever they desire to make reconciliation, Scripture sets forth that one that has offended another, and he's brought to himself. He brought to see something of his foolishness, and he wants to make reconciliation, wants to make things right. You know, Jacob, whenever Jacob, who the scripture says God loved, this is what God said about Esau, I hate him. But Jacob, according to God's will, according to God's purpose, God's providence, he received the birthright. Jacob was older. The twin boys. But Esau was born first. And the one that was supposed to have gotten the birthright was Esau. Jacob got it. You know that. Esau came in from a hunt, famished. Jacob was cooking stuff, and Esau smelled, give me something to eat. He said, give me your birthright. Esau said, I'm about to die. What's good birthright going to do me? So he gave him. He said, okay, you can have it. Jacob got it. And he offended Esau. But turn to Genesis 32:20. Genesis 32:20. Esau was offended, and Jacob in later years wanted to make it right. Genesis 32:20 says, and say ye moreover, when this was Jacob, he's going to send out a group, you know, with some gifts. My brother Esau's out there. I want to make it right with him. So he says, and ye say, the ones he's going to send, moreover, thy servant Jacob behind us. For he said, I will appease him with the present that goeth before me, and afterward I'll see his face, and peradventure, perhaps, he will accept of me. I've offended my brother, and I want to make it right. And then Scripture says when Esau met Jacob, and all those presents that were sent to him by Jacob, Esau's attitude toward Jacob, who had offended him, was one of kindness. Let's turn over to Genesis 33. Look at verse 8 to 11. This is what happened. Jacob had offended. Jacob was the offending party. He wanted to make things right with Esau. He sent these presents. I'm going to send these presents. Esau saw him coming. He said, and this was Esau's attitude back toward Jacob, who had offended him. Genesis 33, verse 8. He said, what meanest thou by all this drove which I've met? And he said, these are to find grace in the sight of my Lord. And Esau said, I have enough. My brother, keep that thou hast unto thyself. And Jacob said, nay, I pray thee, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then receive my present at my hand. For therefore I have seen thy face as though I have seen the face of God, and thou was pleased with me. Take, I pray thee, my blessing that is brought to thee, because God hath dealt graciously with me, and because I have enough. And he urged him, and he took it. He sent his present. And Esau said, I don't need this. I have abundant. And Jacob said, take it. I have all things. Same word. Translated in English, enough. But Esau said, I don't need your gift. I've got abundant stuff. And Jacob says, take it. I have all things in Christ. Take it. He wanted to make it right, you know. Oh, the blessed sight of reconciliation. When the offending party is made to see the error of his way and brought to make or seek a place of tenderness and reconciliation in the heart of the one who has been offended. That's sweet. That's the attitude of a believer. If I've offended you, I want to make it right. I want to make it right. I don't want there to be animosity. God forbid that I should do that to you and offend you. And then if I've offended you, forgive me. Now back in our passage, this passage of Scripture declares something more glorious than that. That's a wonderful attitude. That's the heart of a believer. That's a believer. He's a peacemaker. He's a one who seeks reconciliation. Doesn't want to hold on to that. Not a believer. But you know, if a natural man's gift, like Jacob's toward Esau, if a natural man's gift, that gift that in itself, whatever it is, I'm sorry, take this, I'm going to give you this stuff, whatever the gift is, which truly is temporal, because this life is temporal. If the gift that's given to make reconciliation is in itself feeble, because it does not endure forever, if that has the ability to be able to open a heart that desires peace and reconciliation, how much greater, how much more glorious must be the eternal gift of Almighty God in the giving of His dear Son and the opening up of the elect's heart to love Him who has truly, God who has truly loved the offending party. If the offending party, the one has done the offending, if it's a beautiful thing for them to reach out and to desire reconciliation, how much more glorious is it to the one who has been offended that he takes the first step to make reconciliation for those who have offended him. Now this is grace. This is grace. Here's the one in whom man has offended. In the garden, Adam rebelled against God, and man separated himself from God. Man alienated himself before God. I can understand the guilty party taking the initiative and wanting to establish peace, but the party offended, the one who has been offended, and it's God Almighty, and He moves to desire to procure a place of reconciliation with the offending party, that God Almighty would in mercy and grace and compassion choose to show mercy to a people that he had everlastingly loved and chose out of every nation and kindred and tribe and tongue. And it said, I'm going to show mercy to you. You who have offended me, I'm going to show mercy to you. And I'm going to establish the ground of peace, the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the problem. Man is the offending party. Man is the offending party. There is not one good thing in any of us by nature. We are all as an unclean thing. There's none righteous, no, not one. Every one of us would do exactly what Adam did. Every one of us would rebel against God. God told Adam, in the day you eat thereof, you're going to die. Adam ate. God asked him, hast thou eaten of the tree which I commanded thee not, that thou shouldest not eat? Man offended God in the garden and thereby separated himself from the only one in whom is life. By one man's rebellion, there was then and there is now no good thing if left to himself but death. You leave a man, you leave a woman to themselves, and I'll tell you what they're going to do. They're going to go to hell. Will they exercise their free will? They don't have a free will. They don't have a free will. A man, a woman that believes that man has a free will, a will that is able, capable, alive, to be able to reconcile himself back to God, doesn't know God. He calls God a liar. The scripture says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, and you hath he quickened. You know what that means? That he's made you alive. You hath he quickened. God Almighty has to make a man alive before a man will do anything. God's got to give him a willing heart. Before that man will respond, there has to be life there. Let's go to any cemetery you choose. Let's go to any cemetery right after services. And I'll tell you what you do. Plead to every one of those corpses that's in that ground and tell them, why don't you exercise your free will? And you'll say, Marvin, you're foolish. You are foolish. They're dead. I know. And man by nature is dead in trespasses and sins. What is a dead man going to do to reconcile himself, Gene, back to God? What can a dead man do? Every imagination of the thought of his heart is only evil. Continually, every day, how is a man that is dead in trespasses and sin going to reconcile himself back to God? He's not. He's not. Left in that state, there's one word from God. Depart from me, you works of iniquity. I never knew you. I never knew you. Ezekiel 18:4 says, behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. And the soul that sinneth is going to die. I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. And I'm going to have my sin dealt with. There's going to be payment. And one of two options, here's the only two options. Either when the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross, he died for me and put away my guilt. Either he put away my guilt and paid the debt of my guilt, not to make salvation possible. No, sir. No, sir. He died to seek to save that which was lost. He said, I lay down my life for the sheep. And when he died for all that the Father had given him. That's what he said. John 10:15, I lay down my life for the sheep. You say, well, everybody can be a sheep. No, sir. No, sir. You read on through that same chapter, John 10. Just read John 10. Come to verse 25 right in there. Some Pharisees said, "How long are you going to make us to doubt? If you be the Christ, tell us plainly." He said, "I told you, and you believe not, because you are not of my sheep." You're not my sheep. He said, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me." Almighty God is the reconciling party, not man. Almighty God is the one who is chosen to show mercy and compassion to whomsoever he will. But in spite of man's rebellion and desire to have no peace with God, you say, "Wait a minute, are you saying that man by nature has no desire to seek after God?" That's what the scripture says. Psalm chapter 14. No man seeks after God. You say, "Well, now wait a minute. I sought the Lord." The only time a man will seek after God is when God gives him a new heart. Then that man is willing in the day of God's power. Until then, the scripture declares, no man will seek after God. I need one to reconcile me back to him, because I, number one, cannot do it, and I will not do it. I will not do it. God Almighty must show mercy to me. He must show compassion to me. And he said, out of every kindred and tribe and tongue, I've got a people that I'm going to show mercy and compassion to. All of man's peace before God is totally founded upon the mercy and grace and will of God Almighty. If you know him this morning, it's because he chose for you to know him. He chose for you to know him. If God leaves a man to himself to do what that man wants to do, he'll rebel every time. He will not come. He will not come. You say, "What do you mean he will not come?" The Lord said in John chapter 6, read it, John 6, he says, "No man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father." You say, "Well, what if somebody wants to come and it's not the Lord's will?" They won't. They won't. You say, "Well, I think if they wanted to," the Lord said, "You won't." And let God be true. Let every man be a liar. Here's the way it is. All of man's peace is totally based upon God's mercy, God's will, and God's gift. God Almighty gave his love to those that he chose to save, to his elect, to the bride of Christ. He says, "I've loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee." I drew you. The only reason man comes to Christ is because God came to him first. God gave his own Son to redeem his people. For God so loved the world. I love Mr. Spurgeon. Jeff. He made this statement. He preached on John 3:16 one time. He said, John 3:16 is the great gun, the great cannon. Cannon, the weapon, is the great cannon of Arminianism, free will. False free will, man works, religion. He said, that's the great cannon of Arminianism. And he said, "I aim this morning to turn that weapon upon them, because that weapon was not forged in their foundry." For God so loved the orderly arrangement, the world. You say, "Well, I think that means everybody." Well, if it means everybody, why in John 17, verse 9, would the Lord not pray for him? He said, "I pray for those that thou hast given me. I pray not for the world, but for those that you've given me. God has an elect, and Christ prays for them, and Christ redeemed them. I lay down my life for the sheep, and he's going to have them. All that the Father giveth me, John 6:37, shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. I'm telling you, salvation's of the Lord, not of us. Salvation is by grace. It's not by works. It's not by my choice. It's by God's will, God's purpose. God so loved the world, the orderly arrangement, that which he created, that he would not allow this orderly arrangement to perish in man's own rebellion against him. What'd he do? He gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I've said before, people will say, you people don't believe in whosoever will. Oh, yes, I will. Oh, yes, I do. Oh, yes, I do. Oh, yes, I do. Whosoever comes to him, God has already shown them mercy. Here's the problem. Leave a man to himself, and whosoever won't, he won't come. He won't come. Don't put the hands of, don't put the power and the choice and the first work of salvation to be in man's hand. God says it's not there. It's not there. Men are standing in pulpits today crying to dead men to do something that a dead man can't do. Preach the gospel of God's free and sovereign grace and peradventure. Perhaps, if God Almighty is pleased, he'll open up his people's heart. He said, I'll give you a new heart. I'll give you a heart. I'll give you one. I'll make you willing in the day of my power. Oh, what God Almighty has done and given in the reconciliation of his people. But let me ask you this in closing. Proverbs 18:16. Doesn't our verse say, a man's gift maketh room for him? A man's gift. That's exactly right. A man's gift, a man's present, maketh room. Here, the problem is we don't understand what we're reading. We read words, unless we look them up, Neil, we don't know what we're saying. A man's present opens wide for him and bringeth him before great men. Doesn't it say that? Yes, it does. This verse is saying that a man's present, a present by which reconciliation has been accomplished, maketh room, it opens wide a place for him and bringeth him before, leads him and guides him to bestow his face before great men. Great men in themselves? No. Great in number. Great in extent. For God Almighty to show mercy, God's justice has got to be satisfied. And the man that gives the gift of himself, that is the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ, he who was made flesh and did that very thing. He gave himself. The Father gave him. He gave himself. God's gift to his people. And thereby satisfied the law's demand for justice. What is due to these sheep? You lay that on me. What do they owe? I'll pay. The blood, the precious blood. And I'll tell you this, there's none for whom Christ died that'll be in hell. All that the Father giveth me, they're going to come to me. Not one drop of his blood was shed in vain. If you say one drop of his blood was shed in vain, well, he made it possible, you said. He made salvation possible. Well, if he made salvation possible, then that means it's left in your hands to make the decision, and then that means it's by works. Your choice. As I've said before, that ain't going to fly. You try to preach any message that doesn't give salvation totally to be in the hands of Almighty God, and what you're saying is salvation's got to be by my work. If he made it possible for me to be saved and shed his blood to make salvation for me possible, and I reject him and go to hell, that means he was a failure. You can't get around that. You're not going to get around that. even while we were yet sinners. Even when there was no welcome place for him in my wicked heart, no love, no desire, he made room for himself. He gave a new nature. He gave a new heart. As we said, I'll give you a new heart. I'll give you a new will, new mind, new desire, a new love. He, in mercy, the offended party, opened our eyes to our need. I didn't even know I needed him. I'll be honest with you, I didn't really care. I didn't care. And you didn't either. Before he opened your eyes, we needed him. I need a redeemer. I need a great high priest. I want one to approach God for me. I need for God Almighty to provide for himself one that he will accept on the merit of the one that approaches him for me and his son who did only always those things that please the Father. That's my beloved son. I'm well pleased. I'm going to hear him. You hear him. I'm going to hear him. Oh, he made a place. By his gift, he made a place before many. That's what he's saying. God commanded the light to shine out of darkness, have shined in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. God Almighty gave himself and gave us faith to believe it. For by grace, grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's the gift of God. Brethren, we have nothing in ourselves in which to boast. If Almighty God has reconciled us unto himself, thanks be unto God. Truly, truly, a man's gift, the man Christ Jesus, maketh room, opens wide. For him. He did it for himself. Did it for us. We're the recipients of his mercy. But I'm telling you, he did it for himself to show mercy and grace. He did this for himself, Mark. A man's gift maketh room for him and bringeth him, causes to see, opens the eyes of, bringeth him into the face and bringeth him to behold before many men, great in number. Not, as I said, not great in himself. Listen to this, and I'll close with this verse, Revelation 7, 9. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude. A great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne, before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. May the Lord bless these words to our hearts for Christ's sake.